chapter number 2. We're going to finish up tonight, and we're going to take the book of John, then we're going into the book of Ephesians, and we'll finish in the book of Ephesians tonight. Hopefully, maybe week after next. Next week will be our mission conference, so I do want to remind you of that and get that on the live feed again, and remind you to be praying about it, looking forward to what the Lord's going to do there. I believe it's going to be good. I really do. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. Been praying and begging God to move on it, and speaking about the home, and I'm hoping Brother Allison's going to preach on the home all week. I don't know for sure. I told him just to mind the Lord, but I am hoping he'll preach on the home all week and really dig in on that. And he said, "Preacher, our homes are in good shape. Our homes are good as they can be." And I don't know. I'm like the fellow said, there's always room for improvement. Amen. And I believe if we'll just dig into the Word of God and study a little bit, I believe we'll see some places where that we do fail short, some places where God can help us get a little closer in our homes. Amen. Church, I believe this from the depths of my heart, and I don't know why the Lord has burdened my heart so much lately about this in the last year, but I believe the devil has an all-out attack on the home. And it's not just around you, but it's everywhere you look. There is an all-out attack upon the home. You don't believe that? Just take you just 5 minutes to watch your television, and it won't be long. You'll realize that, okay? When they go to putting 2 men and 2 women in a home and showing you that that's normal, there's something wrong with that, amen? That is nothing but an attack that the devil is using, a tool that the devil is using to attack the home, amen? I do believe that. And I believe you and I, we need to study more about the home. We need to keep our homes close to God the way God have them as much as possible. And that way we can be a pattern for somebody else. Amen. Pattern for somebody else. And I've just looked and seen a lot of places that the home, boy, I'm telling you, it's special. It really is. God's institution, and it's special. And I thank God for that. I really do. John chapter number 2. And we'll read these 2 verses that we've been reading, and then we'll jump right on into the book of Ephesians. Stand with us, if you will, for the reading of God's Word tonight. John chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible says here, "And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there." And then jump with me to verse number 11. "The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him." Let's pray. Father, we come again thanking you, Lord, for the opportunity we have. Come, Lord, just bow in your presence tonight. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you've come this way. We've already felt your presence, Lord, in the singing. Felt your presence, Lord, in the fellowship. And Lord, I just want to thank you, God, for being here. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you just continue to move and continue to bless. Lord, I pray the power of God fall down all over us tonight. You know my frame. Lord, you know I'm not worthy nor able to be able, God, to preach tonight, to be able to say a word. But God, I know that you're able. God, I confess to you, Lord, my inabilities. Lord, confess to you your ability. Father, I ask, Lord, that you touch us tonight. Speak the words, Lord, that needs to be said. Father, we pray. Give me fresh oil, fresh unction, God, we ask. Lord, as the scriptures are opened unto us, Lord, may we take and apply it to our hearts and our lives, that we may walk closer than we ever have before. Father, I pray, God, that you'd open the scriptures like we've never seen it before. God, help us tonight. Lord, I pray that we glean something out of thy word. Father, again, Lord, have you will and your way in every heart. If there's one here tonight, I might have a need. Supply that need, Lord, we pray. Maybe one, Lord, that's following you far off, or maybe one's even lost. Oh, God, save them, Lord, I pray. For it's eternally too late, God, we beg. Lord, I pray, Father, now that you'd have your will and your way in every word it's said. Father, bless us. We give you praise, that you do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Jump with us, if you will, over to the book of Ephesians, again, chapter 5. And we'll cover another verse in there. And I believe this will be the last verse that we have there in Ephesians. We'll look at verse 27 tonight. As you're turning there, I do want to remind you just a little bit about that we've been preaching on the marriage there, and how God put His stamp of approval, or Christ put His stamp of approval upon the marriage by His glory being shown there in Canaan of Galilee at a marriage ceremony. And we've been talking a lot about that for several weeks. It's been a great blessing. I've enjoyed the study. I don't know about anybody else, but I've enjoyed the study, and it's really been a blessing. And
I thank God for moving in happiness there with that. And last week, or week before last, we looked at the preparation of the marriage, if you will. There's some preparing going on there, and some of the people, if you will. We looked at a few things there maybe a couple of weeks ago, looked at a few things there, talked about the bridegroom getting ready and everything. Then we talked about the bride just a little bit. And we looked there in verse number 26, and we said there, the Bible says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. He's talking about the church there. And I said that, and I said the other day, and I'll say it again, when he's talking about the church, I believe I ought to stick with the church. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm going to go with the church. Amen. So I did want to reiterate that just a little bit right there. But then we looked at how he said there he wanted to sanctify and he would cleanse it there. And I'm glad he did. I'm glad he sanctified us and cleansed us with the Word of God. And give him, I say to you that if you're saved tonight, you got saved by the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Now you may, listen, you may have been by yourself, you may have been at a singing, you may have been on the side of the road, you may have been on your job site, you may have been in a lot of different places when you got saved. Everybody didn't get saved in the same place, amen. Everybody don't get saved in the church in an altar. But if you got saved, you got saved because the gospel was preached unto you, amen. I'll promise you that somehow, in some form, the gospel was preached unto you. So we need to understand that tonight. And we need to see this here that he said he's sanctifying and cleansing it by the washing of the word. Okay? Thank God he sanctified his cleansing. Say amen. Thank God for that. Then last week we looked at how the bride there has an invitation. He invites us, if you will. Oh, church, what an invitation we had. When he came by our way and invited us into the family of God, invited us into being a part of the bride. Amen. An old wretched sinner like we are, and yet he gave us an invitation to be a part of the bride. Amen. You know, we ought to be so happy, we ought to be so joyful about that, that we'd just shout even if just at the drop of a hat. Amen. Just to be a shouting over that. Amen. That's shouting ground. I thank God for that. I really do appreciate that. And then we talked about what the bride looked like, if you will. Now, I believe as we look in this scripture, and that's one of the things that we're going to really dig into tonight, verse 27 there. I believe if you look at the bride there, the first thing I told you last week was this, that in order to realize the blessing that God had given and the extent that God had done for us, we need to realize where we were at beforehand. Amen. We need to realize how wretched, how defiled, how wicked, how ungodly, how full of iniquity, and the sin that we had on us. I mean, our righteousness was as filthy rags, church. Amen. Every single one of us, okay? There wasn't nobody any better than anybody else. We were all sinners. And for us to understand the gravity and understand the extent of what God has really done by letting us be a part of the bride, we got to understand where we came from. Amen. Now, I realize a lot of folk today, especially in our church, I realize you may have been raised in church all your life. You may not have been a drunkard. You may not have the testimony that you, for the half of your life, first part of your life, that you was a drunkard and an alcoholic and a drug addict. And you may not have that testimony. And I say praise God if you don't, okay? I say praise God for that. But let me say this. It don't matter if you've been in church all your life or if you're a drunkard or alcoholic. It does not matter. We're all in the same boat. Our righteousness is as filthy rags, amen? We are nothing without Jesus, amen? We are nothing at all. So we need to understand from that point there how far it is that God took us to being a part of the bride. Amen. So I thank God for that. So I wanted to reiterate that just a little bit, give you just a few things about that, just to remind you and bring you back to where we're at. Notice, if you will, in verse number 27, and this is where we left off last week with this first statement here, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So we go back to the Jewish marriage there, and we were talking about last week, and I made the statement there that a writer, I believe it was J. Vernon McGee, said he had never seen an ugly bride. And I believe that pretty close. Amen. Every bride I ever seen is beautiful. Amen. I got good news. Amen. The bride of the bridegroom is going to be beautiful. Amen. It's going to be exceptional. Amen. And as wretched as we are, we're going to be on the other side of the spectrum. Amen. And we're going to be exceptional. Amen. We're going to be the most beautiful bride that has ever been. Amen. Because Christ is the one that's going to sanctify. He's the one that's going to cleanse. He's the one that does it all. Amen. Thank God for that. Now, we noticed in this scripture last week that he says that he might present it to himself. And I made the statement here, gave you three examples there, that this is not talking about Jesus giving a gift to himself. This is not talking about, and I used the illustration the other week, coming around Christmas time there, that you don't give a gift to yourself. Well, most of us don't anyway. You don't give a gift unto yourself. Amen. If you want to buy yourself something, go ahead. That'll be fine. Amen. But you don't just turn around, take that box that's wrapped up, and hand it to yourself like that and say, hey, here's your gift, okay? Well, that's not what's happening here. You read it, and you would think that it is. But what you see here is the friend of the bridegroom. You see the Holy Ghost there is presenting the church or the bride there to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what's happening right here in this scripture. If you go back there again into Genesis chapter 24, when Abraham sent back down there to get Isaac a bride there, he sent the Holy Ghost down there, the servant, and when he went down there, he got her, brought her back, and when he got her back there to Isaac, he presented her unto Isaac. Now, I looked a little bit more at this word present. This word present means this, to stand beside, that is to exhibit or prefer. In other words, to show, if you will, with an anticipation of acceptance, if you will. In other words, when he brought Rebekah back there and he presented her to Isaac there, he took her and beside of him, stood beside of her there and said, here, this is the bride. Amen. And I got a picture of the Holy Ghost doing the same thing. Amen. We get to heaven. Amen. The Holy Ghost has already preserved us here. He's already regenerated us here. He's already kept us here. Amen. He's already sealed us here. Amen. And when we get to heaven, he's going to take the bride and he's going to present the bride to the Son of God. Amen. What a time that's going to be. Amen. Oh, what a day that's going to be when he presents us unto the Son of God. Boy, I praise God for that time. Amen. That's something to look forward to. Amen. Church, we shouldn't hold our heads down. We ought to be lifting our heads to the heavens saying, boy, I can't wait. Amen. Can't wait to get there. Amen. You ever seen a bride that was not excited about her wedding day? Huh? You ever seen a bride that was not excited about the day she's going to walk down the aisle? No, they're all expecting it. They're looking forward to that day. And church, we ought to be the same way. We ought to be expecting that day when the Holy Ghost is going to take us and present us there to the Son of God. Amen. John chapter number 16, verse 13, talked about the Holy Spirit being the comforter there. He was given unto us that he would protect us and that he would walk with us. Amen. The comforter there. Thank God. He's going to take us all the way. And we said this in John chapter 3, verse 29. That he says there, John the Baptist was the friend of the bridegroom. And so he talked about there that how he would speak of the bride. Picture of the Holy Spirit there. So I just wanted to reiterate that just a little bit there. If we get to heaven, church, it's going to be by the Holy Ghost. If we get there, it'll be by the Holy Ghost. Amen. There's no other way you'll get there. Amen. If you've not been drawn by the Holy Ghost, you'll never make it to heaven. Amen. You'll never make it there. I'll promise you that. So as we look in this verse here one more time, verse 27, he says that he might present it to himself. Notice this, a glorious church. I'm going to show you about six things here in this scripture that he describes the bride. Now you say, preacher, you've already described the bride. You've already said that she's sanctified and she's cleansed. Well, I believe what that is just a general description, if you will. I believe all he's doing when he said those words was basically telling you and showing you what Christ is going to do by his death on the cross is to sanctify and cleanse us. But now when we get into verse 27, he's going to show us exactly what the bride is going to look like. Amen. I say praise God right here. Amen. What exactly the bride is going to look like. Now the first thing we see here is it's a glorious church. That word glorious, church, it glorious there means this. It means to splendid. It means glorious. It means gorgeous. It means honorable. Amen. I don't know about you, but I, like I said the other week, this boggles my mind. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't understand how God can take, now God can do all things, I know, but how God can take an old wretched sinner full of sin, full of ungodliness, full of unrighteousness, full of iniquity, and he'll take us from that place to being a glorious church. Splendid. Amen. I'm telling you, some of these words here, I read them and I'm like, man, these don't apply to me. These don't apply to us because we were wretched sinners. But oh, because of the blood of Christ and because of his justification and because of him, that's what we're going to look like, church. Amen. That ought to excite us. Amen. Amen. I don't understand how, but God does it. Amen. I don't understand how he does it, but he can do it. Amen. He said glorious, honorable, splendid. Man, full of glory. We can't take no glory. Amen. It's his. Amen. But when we get to heaven, we're going to be glorious. Amen. Thank God for that. Notice what else he says. He said he's going to present himself a glorious church. Notice this. Not having spot. In other words, not a spot anywhere on earth. That word spot there means this. It means to stain or soil or to defile. In other words, nothing to defile, no spot. Amen. I thought about a wedding dress. And you ladies get ready to walk down the aisle. You'll have that white wedding dress on. Now, for some reason that maybe she cuts her finger or something and one drop of blood hits that dress. When she walks through the door, what are you going to look at? That one drop of blood. Or if she goes walking up to the front door and she steps in a mud hole and gets the front just a little bit muddy, just one little spot, what are you going to see? You're going to see that one spot, ain't you? But that ain't us, amen? That ain't the bride of Christ. He said where there is no spot. He said they're going to be perfect. There's going to be no stain, no spoil. You getting this? We're going from one side of the spectrum to the other side. We're going to having their sins. We're wretched. We're defiled. Amen. Then we get to over here. We're without spot. Amen. No stains, no spoils, no sin. Ain't no sin around us. Amen. Ain't no sin in us. Thank God. Can you imagine a church? Can you imagine a bride that was at one time full of iniquity, but now has no sin whatsoever? Amen. Anybody else want to shout right there and say amen? Thank God. Thank God for that. Amen. Glad there's not going to be a spot on us. Amen. None to defile. When we walk through those pearly gates, and the Holy Ghost presents us to the Son of God, there'll not be a spot anywhere around. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Notice the next one there. He said, not a spot or a what? A wrinkle. I thought about that wrinkle there. That wrinkle is something that should not be there. That wrinkle, I've thought a lot about it. I'm bad and I'm OCD. I'll be the first to admit it. You've heard me say that before. I like to iron my shirts, okay? I like them to be without wrinkles, okay? A lot of people don't. That's fine. If you want to wear a wrinkled shirt, that's fine. That's your prerogative. I'll iron mine, okay? But my wife gets tickled at me because I'll go to iron my shirt. And if I get one wrinkle right there, I'm done for, okay? I'm going to iron that spot until I get that wrinkle out. I don't like it, amen? Why, preacher? Because that wrinkle ain't supposed to be there. That shirt, the shirt I put on could be a $100 shirt, and I don't even own a $100 shirt, okay? But it could be a $100 shirt. But if you've got one wrinkle in that shirt, what are you going to look at? You're going to look at that one wrinkle, ain't you? That one wrinkle is out of place. That one wrinkle should not be there. That's the same way. You listen to me tonight. There is not going to be one person, not one person, not one part of the church that's not supposed to be there. Amen. We live in a day and time, and you listen to me very closely right here. We live in a day and time when we have, I believe, folks dying from our church pews, dying and going to hell, okay? They're having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, okay? They're trying to worship when the power of God ain't nowhere around them, amen? They're trying to claim they're saved when God ain't nowhere around them. You listen to me tonight, those folk will not be a part of the bride. Those folk, I'm sorry to say it, they may have been in church all their life, 7,500 years, it does not matter. They can give every bit of their savings. They can work their fingers to the bone, but it does not matter. If they're not saved by the blood of Christ, they will not be a part of the bride. Amen. They won't be a part there. A wrinkle there means this. Let me give you a definition here. It means a fold or drawing together, drawing up, if you will. A wrinkle, as a, especially like a wrinkle on the face, if you will. Ain't going to be no wrinkles there. Ain't going to be no wrinkles in us. Amen. Thank God today. I can say to you, if you're saved by God's grace, you'll be in that bride. Amen. Thank God for that. Amen. Can't wait. Let's move on. He said, no wrinkle. I like this. Look here. He said, or any such thing. I believe Paul got to the place he didn't even know what to say. Paul got to the place where he said, there's not going to be a spot. There's not going to be a wrinkle. It's going to be a glorious church. It's going to be beautiful. And he gets down here and he's talking about spot and wrinkle. He says, or even any such thing. Anything like it, spot, wrinkle, blemish, whatever you want to put in there. He said, there will be nothing that will defile. Church, I believe one of the greatest things about heaven is there's nothing going to be there that's going to defile. Amen. There will never be no sin in heaven. Amen. The devil will not be in hell. Heaven. Amen. He'll be in hell for eternity. He will not be in heaven. Amen. Thank God. There'll be no abortions. Thank God. There'll be no sin. There'll be none of that in heaven. Amen. Let alone a part of the bride. Amen. There's nor any such thing. Nothing like this whatsoever. I read this scripture and I think in my mind that he's talking here and he says it's a glorious church. It's going to be without spot and wrinkle. And I'm thinking, well, he got to go a little deeper. And he says this, that nor any such thing. He just got to reiterate that, pound that, that listen, there'll not be anything that will defile the church or that will defile the bride. Preacher, how does it keep from it? Because we're sealed. Amen. We're sealed into the day of redemption. Amen. Thank God we're sealed by the Holy Ghost. Notice the next part here. He said that, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That word holy means sacred. Physically pure, morally blameless, or religiously, ceremonially consecrated. Holy or a saint. Again, I say church, and I told you this the other week. I'm going to be honest with you. I have a hard time believing this is going to be the church. Now, if God looked at us and we were able to have a little bit of righteousness, or we were able to do a little bit of good, just a little bit, then I might not have such a hard time believing it. But I'm talking about people that are wretched and defiled, people that are ungodly and unholy, and people that are sinners, and yet that's who he's talking about right here. That's the bride. That's what the bride looks like. Oh, praise God for that. Amen. Say, preacher, you done said that. Yeah, I'm going to say it about 100 more times before I get done tonight too. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. Thank God. He says you're holy. Without blemish. Amen. Thank God. Without blemish means this. Without blame, faultless, unblameable. Unblameable. I don't know about you, but that sounds like justification to me. That sounds like just as if I'd never sinned. Amen. Glad I'm justified tonight. I'm glad I'm not atoned tonight. I'm glad I'm justified. Amen. It's just as if I'd never sinned one sin. Amen. That's the way we are tonight if we're saved, church. Amen. That's the way the bride of Christ is. Justified. Just as if he'd never sinned. Amen. What a blessing. Now, I told you this last week, week before last. I said this. When you think about a presentation, there's three different parts to that. You've got the presenter, you've got the object that's being presented, then you've got the one that's receiving the presentation, if you will, or the present. Kind of like we had here at Christmas. You've got the one that's giving the gift, you've got the gift, and you've got the one receiving the gift. Well, we done looked at the presenter, that's the Holy Ghost. We done looked at the present, that's the bride. Then we've looked already at the bridegroom a little bit, but I got to go back and hit this just a little bit. The one receiving the gift is none other than the Son of God. None other than the Son of God. Amen. Thank God. None other but than the lily of the valley. None other than the rose of Sharon. None other than
God, oh, God the Son. Amen. Thank God. I'm glad He's the one that's going to receive us. Amen. I'm glad He's the bridegroom. I thought about this, and I'm going to give you this, and I'll close. Revelations chapter number 19 over there, verse 7 and 8 there. Let's go over and read it. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. I started not to read it, but I believe I'll go ahead and read it. We preached closely out of this Sunday. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says here, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready." Did you get that word? Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. You know why we're going to look that way? It's going to be Him. It's Him. Amen. It's all about Him. It's all about the one that's going to receive that gift. You see, I thought about the gift, that the one that receives that gift, or if you will, the bridegroom, when he receives the bride from the hand of the father, the friend of the bridegroom there. When he receives that hand and receives her, boy, she's special to him. She's special to him. He loves her. He gave himself for her. And he cares for her. Everything that she is because of the gifts that he sent down there to her before she ever got there. Everything that she looks like is because he sent her already those gifts and those garments and those things. And now he's standing here and he's going to receive the gifts, if you will, of his labor. I thought about how that Christ went and died for us on the Calvary. Shed every drop, took every stripe, or walked every step all the way up Calvary's hill. Why, preacher? So he could take an old wretched sinner like I am and turn it into a part of a glorious church without wrinkle, without spot, holy. Holy. Listen, thank God that receiver of that gift, that one that's going to receive that gift, is none other than God, none other than Jesus Christ. And thank God he did it all for me. Amen. He done it all that I could be a part of that gift. I'm glad I'm part of the gift tonight. Amen. I'm glad I'm part of that. But he says right there in last part of that verse number 7, as I read to you, he says, "And his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, and clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Clean, white, fine linen. That's what we'll look like. I hope you've got a picture of what the bride is going to look like. I'll guarantee you this. When the bride is seen, when the bride is presented to Jesus, she'll not look like the old wretched sinner that I used to be. She'll not look like the old wretched sinners that you used to be. That bride's even going to have some folk in it that used to be drug addicts and alcoholics and harlots and everything else. Listen, they used to be and got saved by God's grace. But when she's presented to the Son of God, you ain't going to be able to recognize them folk, amen? All you'll see is the fine linen, amen? You'll see the righteousness of God. You'll see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what you'll see. Let me give you this verse and I'll close. Isaiah, I read it to you back a couple weeks ago. Isaiah chapter number 61, verse 10 says this, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels." That's what He's done for us, church. He's the one that's done that. Amen. I hope that you've enjoyed this study, if you will, on the marriage and on what the bride and the bridegroom look like. But I think probably one of the greatest parts of the whole thing is that I'm going to be a part of that. I don't know how I can get that across to everybody. That's one of those things like preaching on God's love that you just lose words. That's like one of those things that you're preaching, there's no words to describe what it's going to be like. But if we could realize where we're coming from and where we're going to be, what God's going to give us in His righteousness and His glory and His majesty, amen,
I say praise God for that, church. Amen. I say praise God. Let's stand to your feet tonight. I appreciate your attention tonight. We'll go back into John chapter 2 a little bit more next time, week after next. So just remember, been praying about that.